Well, do take a seat. Now, of course, it is a part of being human, I suppose, that we all make plans from time to time. And sometimes our plans work out, and sometimes they don't. Now, I don't know whether anybody recently has made a plan. Anybody made a plan for the bank holiday weekend? Anybody got a plan? Sure, we're kind of pretty dependent that the weather's going to be good. Sometimes the weather dashes our plans, doesn't it? But the weather looks like being good this weekend. Sometimes we make plans, you know, where we're going to sort of apply for a job and we expect to get that plan and we get that job. We expect certain things to come from it, but maybe we don't get it. And it's a bit of a challenge and the plan doesn't quite work out. Many times that we make plans in our lives. Well, this morning, as we continue to look at the book of Acts, we find a clear plan described and a plan that at first looked like it had been a failure, but actually was a success. In the book of Acts, we find what Jesus continued to do and teach through the apostles in what is effectively Luke's second book after his gospel. And it's a book that we've seen could perhaps be better described, the Acts of the Risen Jesus by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And we've heard previously in the book of Acts about Jesus ascending to God's right hand to rule and about his promise to send the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who believe in Jesus. A promise that was to come true on the day of Pentecost as Acts 2 describes it. An event that we expect to look at in a couple of weeks' time on Pentecost Sunday. Now what we read this morning is the Apostle Peter's sermon on that day of Pentecost, or at least the second half of it, after the Holy Spirit had been given in a new way. And he's explaining what on earth is going on and how vitally important Jesus is in God's plan. So Peter speaks to the people who had come to Jerusalem for the festival, these Old Testament believers in the true and living God. And he tells them about Jesus. So he says in Acts 2, verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." And he reminds them what happened to Jesus. Verse 23, "You crucified and killed him by the hands of lawless men." Now this, of course, was a terrible thing. Jesus was God's messenger, affirmed by God the Father by enabling Jesus to work amazing miracles, like stilling a raging storm instantly by just speaking a word to it, like feeding 5,000 hungry people, and like raising a widow's son to life. And yet, this Jesus was killed, cruelly crucified, executed after an unjust trial, even though he was completely innocent. But how does Peter describe what happened? Well, in verse 23, he says, "This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God." See, God was not taken by surprise. He knew that this was going to happen to Jesus. It was not just difficult circumstances that conspired against him or people who behaved badly. What happened to Jesus was God's definite plan, a plan that did not fail. So Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, makes clear that Jesus is the center of God's plan. But how does he show this? Well, it's all foretold in the Old Testament of the Bible. And I could do with a couple of people to read out for us a couple of parts of the Old Testament for us. Ben, you can do one. And anybody else like to do one for us? You can do that, thank you. So at the appropriate moment, I'm going to ask you to read it out. Now, you see, Jesus, Peter says, may have been crucified, but, verse 24, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by death. For David, King David, says concerning him in Psalm 16, you could read that bit.
I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to hell, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.
So Peter explains how it all fits together. 1,000 years before Jesus came, God sent King David, the great father figure of Old Testament belief, the patriarch. God had promised King David that one of his descendants would, in the future, be king in a new and special way. This descendant would be the Christ or the Messiah. In God's unfolding plan, King David, hundreds of years before, brings a message about King Jesus. So David partly speaks about himself as king, and he partly speaks about Jesus. And he says, verse 29, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. You see, David was a great king who served God, but like us all, he died. And David says to these people that day, we all know where his body's buried. But David was also speaking about how God's plan worked out in Jesus. Being therefore a prophet, Peter says of David, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to give him an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades or hell, the place of the departed, nor did his flesh see corruption. Now, those of us who are familiar with the words of church services will remember that when we have a Holy Communion service together, we usually say what's called the Nicene Creed, and it has this statement in it. Jesus was raised from the dead in accordance with the Scriptures. And here is one of those very scriptures that show way in advance that this was God's definite plan. So Peter adds, verse 32, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. But that was not all. You see, Jesus was, verse 33, exalted at the right hand of God. He ascended to rule from heaven. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this thing that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. King Jesus ascended and exalted, sends his Holy Spirit to his people. And all this is part of God's plan, centered on Jesus. That plan which is foreshadowed and foretold in the Old Testament. So verse 34, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, and Jim, you've got Psalm 110.
The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
So here's another part of the Old Testament, again 1,000 years before Jesus, speaking of what was to happen to Jesus. David speaks it, and it seems like he's talking about himself up to a point, but he's looking forward to the words being fulfilled fully in Jesus. You see, he was a great king who served God. But after his death, David didn't rise or go to rule from heaven. But in his psalm, David was speaking about God's plan being worked out in King Jesus, the Messiah, who is now at God's right hand ruling. So Peter explains, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So Jesus is the true King, and he is the Messiah or the Christ, the one who died and rose in order to restore people to God. Now, if Jesus is so important, the very center of God's plan, both Lord and Christ, King and Messiah, for the world, how do we react? Well, some who first heard this message from Peter were very, very profoundly moved. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So there are two responses that need to be made. And the first is that people need to repent. I've got there a road sign which has a kind of go in the other direction. Turn around. See, that's what repent means, to turn around and to go back to God, to change your way of thinking, to recognize who Jesus really is and to give yourself to him rather than living the way of the world around. So the first response to Jesus being Lord and Christ, risen and exalted, is to repent. The second is to be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's the second response. When Jesus first appeared, he said, repent and believe the good news. And to be baptized is a sign of believing in Jesus, of receiving his mercy and grace, and showing that by being baptized in water. Now, for these first believers there in Jerusalem, I guess they went down to the river and they were dunked under the water as a sign of dying to the old life, and then they were brought back up from the water as a sign of being raised to a new life. And that idea is very powerful and important, and one that is to be represented today as people turn to Jesus. And of course, as the years went by, many Christians have baptized their offspring, thinking of Peter's next words in his sermon. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So baptizing an infant can be a sign of them being part, with their Christian parents, of God's covenant of gracious love. And of course, then they promise with the godparents on behalf of their little one to bring up their child, to own that baptism, and themselves turn to God in repentance and putting their belief in Jesus. So two responses. We're to repent and to believe and be baptized. But then what is it that God offers? Peter's been presenting Jesus, risen and ascended and now ruling from heaven. What is it that God offers to us through him? Well, if there are two responses, there are also two gifts. And I've got these represented here. Now, anybody like to open this for me? Seb's gone in there, hasn't he? Can you open this little present for me? Thank you. See what's inside. Open it up. You'll have to open it up because that box is not the original box. So open it up. It's not what it says on the box. You have to get inside it. See what's inside. Can you see what it's a picture of? Can you see what it is? It's water, isn't it? It's a picture of clear water, which is a symbol of something. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. See, God can give forgiveness of sins, a cleaning up spiritually on the inside from the things that separate us from God, so that we can be given a new start. So the first gift is the forgiveness of sins. And there's another gift here as well. I'd like to open this other one for us. Somebody like to open this for us? Well, you should open it again, I think, don't you? You've got another one to open. Why not? See what's in that this time. When's your birthday?
Christmas.
Near Christmas time, is it? Oh, Christmas Day. So it all comes at once. So that was a very busy day. Right, good idea. Half birthday. Right, what's this one then? You see what it is?
A bird.
It's a bird. Do you know what kind of bird it is? It's a dove. It's a dove. That's right. Well, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, he descended in the form of a dove. Now, each believer in Jesus is given the gift of the Holy Spirit. God himself coming to live within us, to help us and equip us to witness and to serve and to love. Well, we began thinking about the fact we all make plans, and some of them succeed and some of them fail. Well, in Peter's sermon, that first Pentecost Sunday, we hear of God's plan for his world. It had seemed like it was a failed plan when Jesus was crucified, but actually, it was a great success. Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, and God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And Jesus was therefore exalted at the right hand of God and poured out the promise of the Holy Spirit. So this plan is all about Jesus. God has made known in the Old Testament this plan, as Peter showed from the book of Psalms. Now, as the message about Jesus was shared that day, things happened. With many other words, Peter bore witness and continued to encourage them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. See, God was beginning a new revolution with a new people having turned back to God and put their confidence in him through Jesus, receiving forgiveness of sins and the strength of his Holy Spirit. Well, as believers in Jesus, we are part of that same great plan of God, even here and even in 2018. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, who died for our sins, was raised from the dead in accordance with the scriptures, and is now at your right hand. We thank you that as we turn back to you and believe in you and see that illustrated in our lives, that we can receive the gift of forgiveness of sins and your Holy Spirit. Please strengthen us, we pray, that we might be those who bear testimony and witness to the importance and significance of Jesus, even in our day. And we ask for his sake. Amen.